A new crunching of census numbers shows millions more Americans living in poverty than previously thought. One in six. In fact, one in five out in the West. And medical expenses drove many of them there. In fact, according to the Census Bureau, the poverty numbers would have dropped from 15.7% to 12.4% were it not for medical costs. And the newly poor, forced onto the Medicaid rolls, are in for a shock. In California, Medicaid no longer pays for adult dental care except for extractions, so people are having teeth pulled instead of repaired. Arizona has become the first state to take many types of organ transplants off the list of procedures covered by Medicaid. You may have heard some of the stories. A man had a liver waiting for him, but when Medicaid dropped the procedure, he had to come up with a $200,000 cost himself. When he couldn't get up the money, he lost the liver. His story may become more common. Diane Rowland is executive director of the Kaiser Commission on Medicaid and the Uninsured. She's also a professor at Johns Hopkins University. Diane, welcome.
Thank you for having me.
And let's start in Arizona. A lot of people have heard about this story. The discontinued procedures include lung transplants, liver transplants for hepatitis C, some bone marrow and pancreas transplants. And we're reading that the savings are really only about $4.5 million. What's been the response in the medical community?
Well, I think that clearly the medical community is one that believes in cost-effective care. And so the challenge that's going on right now is for some of the patients that Arizona would be covering, what is the benefit of the transplant? Obviously, it can extend life, but how much, what's the quality of that life? There have been conflicting studies that they've seen in Arizona that they're now trying to weigh. But one of the goals of all of our medical programs, whether it be private health insurance or public programs like Medicare and Medicaid, is to make sure that what we're paying for is the most cost-effective and beneficial care to the patient.
Well, but you mentioned the studies. A panel did conclude that, for instance, when it came to bone marrow transplants, they weren't effective. But then doctors challenged that with statistics that showed that they were effective 50% of the time. But putting aside that debate, how do you explain to the person who says just one life saved is worth $4.5 million? I mean, what are some of the things that states are wrestling with?
We're wrestling with the fact that individuals are paying more for their health insurance coverage. It's growing faster than wages are growing, so that we're trying to be more prudent and to help to restrain growing costs. Now, many of these procedures show you the difficulty here. We can talk about costs in the abstract and say, yes, we should trim out some of the services that may not be as cost effective as others. We should perhaps spend more money on preventive services so that we don't need as much on the treatment end. Yet right now, when it's an individual facing a loved one's ability to get a transplant that may give them a few more months or even a few more years of life, people at the individual level always opt for the improvement. And we are really balancing how to sustain the kind of coverage that people want within our fiscal means as a nation.
Doesn't this sort of set up maybe even more of a class situation here? If there's somebody who's very wealthy who needs some sort of a transplant and they happen to have friends who could put together $200,000, they're going to get that transplant before someone who can't get their hands on that kind of money. I mean, we're reading about people running around trying to have yard sales in Arizona for a transplant.
Well, what you've really hit on is why there has been over the last 2 years a debate over health care reform. So that what you're looking at is, in fact, the inequity in a health care system in which some people have insurance, other people don't. Some have to depend on public coverage that has to be balanced within state and fiscal concerns, and some have the ability to purchase whatever care they need whenever they need it.
Well, what else are states doing to cut back because of, you know, more people on the Medicaid rolls and less money to pay for them?
During the recession, the Congress granted some additional federal financing to the states to help them with the expanded enrollment due to the recession. One of the caveats on receiving that additional federal resources was that they maintain their eligibility levels so that they did not cut back on eligibility, but that left them open to look at the scope of benefits they provided, looking at limiting the number of physician visits. Some states have considered dropping some of the optional benefits, such as prescription drug coverage or dental coverage for adults. And many of the states have also engaged in trying to pull back on some of their provider payment levels. However, this is a period in which states have also gotten leaner and leaner in the coverage they provide and in the level of payment they provide. So what we're really looking at as we try and monitor what's going on at the states is some pretty tough choices where they've cut back on services to where they feel like they're at the level of basic benefits and very low provider payment rates without a lot of room to go.
Where do you see this going, Diane Rowland? Again, a professor of health policy, but also with the Kaiser Commission on Medicaid and the Uninsured. Where do you see this headed?
What you've pointed out in the many examples you've given today are cases where you want to say, oh no, how could that be? How could a program not cover these services? But I think it's an indication of where we have to go if we're going to look at ways to more effectively control costs instead of some of these shotgun approaches that limit a particular service. So I think we need more systematic, across-the-board looks at how our healthcare services are financed and delivered. And I think the Medicaid program needs to be included in the review of how the whole healthcare market works and how we contain costs as a nation.
Diane Rowland is Executive Director of the Kaiser Commission on Medicaid and the Uninsured, also a professor in the Department of Health Policy and Management at Johns Hopkins. Diane, Professor, thank you.
Thank you.